Hey, CS Psychos, Rachel Provan here. And on today's episode, we're going to jump into a mistake that a lot of people make, thinking that the CEO loves customer success just because they told you they did. Now, this is especially true in places where the company doesn't have a ton of experience with customer success. Maybe this is the first time they're rolling it out. Maybe it's been around for less than 2 years. And they're very excited about it. It's like the new shiny thing on the block. And it's not that they're trying to lie to you. It's that they don't really understand what's involved. And customer success has been on the radar for a while now. And CEOs hear about what it can do, about how it can make it so that you can be growing even if you're not bringing in new customers. And I can tell you that's really appealing to a CEO, but they don't necessarily understand how much work that takes and that they're going to have to invest up front time, money, people, training, that it's not just going to be, okay, I'm paying for these people to be here and now I get instant results. With sales and marketing, it's a whole lot faster. It's a known quantity. They understand what they do there. They understand how they get their results. And the results are generally fairly quick. There are longer sales cycles for some, but it still tends to be faster than CS takes to know if what you did worked. CEOs are looking at the end results, but they don't necessarily understand the drivers of those results. And that's something where you are going to have to teach them. And it's a little tricky because people in the C-suite, they don't necessarily do that well with a whole lot of nuance because they have everybody to think about, not just your department. They're trying to balance the needs of every department in the company and make sure it's all working well together. That's all coming up next, right here on Psychology of Customer Success. Stay tuned. Humans don't think or behave like computers. You can't just run a command and get them to do what you want them to do. So why are you still basing your CS strategy based solely on logic? I'm Rachel Provan, CS leadership coach, award-winning CS strategist, and certified psych nerd. I teach CS leaders how to build and scale world-class CS departments using a combination of strategy, leadership, and mindset, using my secret weapon, psychology. Come join me every Wednesday for Psychology of Customer Success, where we'll dive into why people do the things they do, what motivates them, and the effect that has on your CS strategy, team dynamics, and executive presence. We'll dig into subjects like the helper personality, how thought errors like, it's just easier if I do it, keep your department stuck in reactive mode, and how cognitive bias can really screw up your customer journey, plus much more. Make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And make sure to share it with your CS bestie. Talk soon, and here's to your success. When I hear a new CS leader at a company that doesn't necessarily have a lot of experience with CS before say, oh, don't worry about that. My CEO loves CS. He told me. She told me. First of all, it's not like they're going to tell you, welcome aboard, we hate CS. And they don't. Look, it's that most of them just don't understand it. And they've just heard about what it can do. They're excited. They hear, if you did nothing else, if you didn't have any more new sales, you could still grow because of customer success. And that's a very exciting idea. That's a new way of thinking, right? And they don't understand what it's going to take to get there. So when they find out it's going to take a good deal of time, and especially right now, people don't necessarily feel like they have a good amount of time to invest in something that's going to pay off because they don't know if they're going to be here in 2 years. It can be difficult to get the buy-in for CS that you need. And a lot of new CS leaders ride that high of, oh, my CEO loves CS. They were raving about it when I originally joined, and they take that and they put it in their pocket and they just assume that remains static, and it doesn't. And the issue that I see happen a lot is I'll be telling people that I coach, make sure you're tying this back to revenue. Make sure this is what you're telling your C-suite, because these are the things they need to hear. And you need to keep selling the value of CS, even if you've done it before. And they'll tell me, no, I don't have to do that. They get it. They totally get it. And then what I see is when they've been there 6 to 9 months, all of a sudden, the CEO wipes out the CS department. And they say, you are great. We love you. It's just, we don't really see the point. We don't really see the value. It's not a good investment for us at the time. So there is a cognitive bias that accounts for this. And remember, cognitive biases are just thought errors, mistakes our brain make. And this one is called hyperbolic discounting, which is basically just our tendency to choose immediate rewards over rewards that come later in the future, even when those immediate rewards are smaller. I'll take $5 today instead of $10 a week from now. This is because we like a sure thing and waiting is hard. One of the things that you can do, there are a lot of different biases that come into play here, like confirmation bias. Basically, they're used to sales and marketing bringing in the money, so they're probably going to invest in that faster. Or the ambiguity effect, things that we don't understand as well seem risky. If your CEO doesn't understand customer success and how it works and how it results in more money and how not investing in it can result in a lot less money, people are risk averse, they're just not going to go for it, because if things are ambiguous, it's like, why am I going to put this much money and this much time into something that I don't really understand? Again, they don't love a ton of nuance. This is where something like my training on building the house of CS can really help your C-suite see, C-suite, can really help your CEO see how customer success works and builds on each other one step at a time, why you can't just jump to 130 NRR overnight just because we called someone CS. There is a way of going about it step by step to get those results. And each of those steps build on each other. You can't really skip steps and have it still work. I wish we could, but it just doesn't work that way. But them at least understanding what you're doing and why and how all of these things lead to increased revenue and growth, that will help them be more comfortable with waiting for those results. But they have to understand why what you're doing today is going to lead to it. The hyperbolic discounting, the thing where they're going to choose immediate rewards like sales over CS, which you've probably seen in them hiring, offering trainings, etc. So one way that we can address this is through something called priming. Priming is one of those things that can get on the manipulative side of psychology. You're probably not going to know enough about how to use it to really do much damage here. So basically, it's how one stimulus affects a subsequent stimulus. So basically how one thing affects the next thing you do. And that has to do with schemas, which we've talked about before, which are basically little building blocks of memory that tells you this goes with that. So I'll show you a picture that I like that demonstrates this pretty well. But if someone shows you the words bread, juice, and milk, and then puts S-O blank P, you're probably going to look at it and say that word is soup. However, if they gave you a different list instead of S-O blank P, if they gave you the list of towel, shower, shampoo, then you're probably going to fill it in as soap. And you're not necessarily going to know why you did that. It seems obvious in this context that those things all go together. But if they had just sprinkled those things in conversation for the past 10, 20 minutes before they asked you to fill in a word, S-O blank P, they can influence which way you'd fill it in, which is a little disturbing, but at least interesting. So the words that work for this in terms of getting people to make decisions that make more sense for their long-term stability and the way customer success acts as a long-term investment are things like future, long-term, and self-control, because all of these things are associated with delayed gratification and long-term investments, which CS is. So again, don't say these necessarily as part of what your saying about customer success. You could walk into a meeting with them, and before you talk about what you're going to be discussing, you could say, oh, in the future, I think I'm going to bring my iPad to this meeting because it's going to help me take better notes. You just said future. Then in another minute, you see donuts on the table and you say, oh, donuts, I'm going to have a lot of self-control here to say no. So you've gotten self-control in there. And you can use long-term somewhere in there as well. When you're maybe commenting on somebody else's presentation, you can say, okay, and what do we expect the long-term benefits of this to be? You're giving them the softball there, and you're also sprinkling the word long-term. The interesting thing is that even though I know about priming a lot, you know how much I've actually used it in real life? Zero. Mainly because I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of changing someone's mind in a way that they don't know that I'm using it. It seems sneaky and it seems weird to me, but in customer success right now, there are so many cognitive biases against what we're doing. Basically, they don't know what we do. They're not used to it. And we're not the proven concept, which is all things that work against us in this environment. And if they're not seeing immediate results, that means they're probably not going to continue to invest. And it's not in their best interest. The only reason I ever think it makes sense to use psychological tools like this is when you're trying to help somebody act in their best interest. It's a little iffy if it's in your best interest too, but if you really know it's for their best interest, like I think it's cool how some people use it to motivate their teams, just in terms of productivity, in terms of feeling good about their results. There, I think it's fine. Here, I want to give you the information because I'm not really sure that somebody focusing on long-term results is really going to hurt anyone. Just let me know what you think of things like priming. And if you want to hear more about things like that, or if you think they're too icky, desperate times call for desperate measures, maybe. So arguably the biggest CS skill right now is being able to showcase the value of what it is, get people to understand, here's what it is. It's getting customers to achieve their outcomes that they bought the product for so that they will keep buying the product and buy more things from us because we're a proven concept then. Fairly simple. Most people have no idea of that. Is it sales? Is it support? Is it community? Is it this? Is it that? And that's one of those things that can lead to us becoming that miscellaneous department that we really want to avoid, right? And the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because I've been running my own company for over 2 years now, and it's really fascinating because who's more gung-ho on CS than me, right? Like Meta, maybe. But I fully get CS. I fully appreciate it. I often don't understand how this can be a blind spot for people. And I can tell you that until I became a CEO, even if it's for a two-person company, until that happened, I did not truly understand what the CEO was faced with and why they thought the way that they did. And oh boy, let me tell you, do I understand now? And it's funny because I talk to people, other coaches and other people who created programs or even do consulting about, do you focus on customer success? Is that something that you think about? And they immediately look embarrassed and they're like, well, no, I mean, I have a lot of other stuff to do. Because even if you are a one-person company, that doesn't mean that all the roles aren't there still. It just means that you're doing all of them. You're doing marketing, you're doing sales, you're doing support, you're doing fulfillment, you're doing the accounting, which God help me, you're doing everything. You're setting up the websites. Just because it's not something you know how to do doesn't mean it doesn't need to get done. And with all those things that can feel very reactive, it can be hard to think to put into place, am I really getting my customers what they came for? Are they seeing value? Because especially if you're the one who created the program, you think you've thought of everything. You thought of everything that you could think of to make people successful. And unless people are really complaining loudly, it's just not going to be your first area that you're looking at. You're going to be focused on got to get more people in, got to get more people in sales and marketing, got to get more people in growth. In some ways, it becomes like gamification. And I can say I'm making a perfectly good amount now. This is fine. And it is. I want to do better, not just for the money, but because I want to help more people. I want to have a bigger impact. And that's also the part of the what the C-suite is talking about too, and is thinking about. It's income and impact. It's a balance of those two. Because nobody goes through all the trouble and the energy and the time of creating something if they don't really believe in it and believe it will help people, or that there's something in it that it can make a difference. No, it might not be this is going to change the world. Even with CS, maybe it's not going to change the world. But if people are more successful in their outcomes, they have more success in their business, that's a major stressor removed from their life. They can feel good about what they're doing, that they're doing it well. So CS people tend to care how people feel about their results. Whereas if you're in that CEO position, you are taking the 30,000 foot view. You're looking at how everything works together. And if customer success isn't working, you're not going to know that for a year until it stops working, except for somebody like us being like, hey, customers are mad. We need to pay attention to this. Customers don't like XYZ. And while they'll listen to that and be concerned, as we've talked about before, you'll have other people from every other department screaming about problems as well. So if yours isn't going to lose us $2 million tomorrow, you're probably getting put at the back of the line. They care. It's just other things seem more urgent. And it's very much like trying to focus on strategy instead of just dealing with all the reactive stuff that comes at you all day as a CS leader. And this is something that one of the first things we start with in Customer Success Leadership Academy is taking control of your calendar so that you have time to get some of that strategic work done, as well as handle all the realities of the BS that's flying at you all day. So even though you know that you have to take time to focus on strategy, it still doesn't mean you do it, even though you know that is a necessary part of your job, that it's what they have you in here for in the first place. So CEOs will understand, yeah, that's a necessary part of the job, but it's less straightforward. And it's just easier to keep operating the way you've been operating. There's a certain momentum. And CS is a long-term strategy. Just like building a CS department means creating a strategy that takes a while to build up. So if you're having trouble understanding that mindset, that's the closest you're going to get. And it takes, I'm not going to say hammering, because you don't want to be hammering anything into anyone's head, but it's going to take a certain number of times of saying it and showing it before the person's going to believe it. Now, in CSLA, I always tell people block 1 to 2 hours a day for strategic work. And we're going to figure out what strategic work we're going to spend that time on. It's not going to be just like focus time. But the first week, I always say, this is what you need to do. Everyone says, yep, I can do that. Absolutely. And they come back and I say, all right, hands up. How many people put that on their calendar and actually stuck to it? Didn't move it, didn't do it 2 of the days, but not 5, or just spent it on email or catching up or things like that. And it's maybe 10%, maybe. And they may be lying. Who knows? Because it's not natural. It's not something that you're going to have the instinct to do. It requires discipline and it requires a really full understanding of the big picture. And so your job to get them to understand it is to be showing them in each instance how CS affects revenue and what's going to happen to their revenue if this one thing you're talking about today is put on hold. There is a big misconception, and this is something that's very useful in sales as well, but there's a big misconception with most people that if they don't act now, everything's going to stay exactly the same and they can just choose to take care of that later. That is almost never the case. Any sort of crack is most likely going to turn into a chasm because the pressure that put it there in the first place didn't go away. It's just going to increase. So when you don't have the time to handle absolutely everything, how do you prioritize that? By understanding what the consequences are of not doing it. People are much more likely to buy painkillers than they are vitamins because it just doesn't seem like a big deal. I hate taking vitamins. I don't like, you know, they get stuck in my throat. My doctor tells me the gummies are pointless. And it feels like that. I don't want to spend money on a new CS tool when I could be spending it on this new software that's supposed to surface leads through AI and my sales guys can work twice as much on half the time. Meanwhile, so many of these AI things aren't entirely baked yet, but learning anything about marketing, and you'll see that there's a lot of manipulation playing on what people care about, even if it's not necessarily the answer to the issue. It's understanding what is this person's biggest pain point and leaning on that. So you might have to do that a little bit. You might have to say, I completely understand you've got all these other priorities, but if we don't do this, our churn rate is 20%. That's pretty high. And we are not bringing in the same amount of money through new sales that we were last year, 2 years ago. So now, with us losing 20% of our customers, each sale that you make until we make that money back is just going to keep us flat. New logos aren't bringing us money anymore. They're just bringing us back up to where we were. And that's a hard concept to understand until you see it mapped out. Nick Mehta actually had a really cool graph that showed it in one of his newsletters. I'm going to link it here. It has to do with a bit. It's a little financy. It's a little maybe deeper into the weeds of finance than I enjoy. But, you know, and I don't think you need to be a CPA to run a CS department. I just don't. I don't think that other departments need to be as financially savvy and to be able to talk about EBITDA. But right now, when you're trying to prove the value and that's their language, it helps to know a little bit. And you don't have to be able to necessarily speak about it in terms of EBITDA, but you need to be able to speak about it in terms of this is the money you're going to lose. And you don't realize it. So long as it's on a chart, so long as they can see what's actually happening, the sort of machine of all of it, that's what's going to make the difference. It being about EBITDA in that article speaks their language, so it can be helpful to pass that on. But this isn't something that is fully solved yet. If I had the way to get the C-suite to completely value CS from day one, I would give it to you right here, right now. I wouldn't ramble. I would just state it like a sentence and get out of here so you could go do it. It's a time-consuming process, and it's about 50% of succeeding in CS right now is convincing people you need it in the first place and that your efforts, even though they take a little bit of time, are worth the result. Understanding, as humans, we're not really great at understanding that things that aren't immediate gratification, it's better if we can, but how many of us are investing? That's a very clear benefit. It literally gives you back your money and more. It's like having a slot machine that if you put in 10, it's going to give you out 15 every time. But the difference is, okay, it's going to give you out 15, but not for 2 years. You might not do it, right? Because I'd rather have the $10 spend right now. There are tons of studies that show this. I'd rather have the $10 right now because you can't predict the future. You don't know if you're going to be here in 2 years. Of course, you assume you will be. But for that difference, you'd rather have it now. If it's $1 million, maybe you'll wait. But that's not really how life works. It takes longer to get the bigger results. And that's the case with CS as well. And a lot of that thought error is something that we battle every single day. I call it pushing a rock up the hill, explaining to people why we're doing this in the first place, why it's important, what it means financially, because it's going to come up again and again that people are just going to look at you and be like, what are you doing? Why are we doing this? Because it doesn't show immediate gratification. And because they don't understand why someone would ever leave their product that they worked so hard on. And people really don't understand it when they start churning at a higher rate than they were before, which plenty of people are doing due to the economy. Now, some that are doing that, everybody's trying to cut costs and everyone's not very good at it because of that same thought error of thinking, all right, this costs money. If I take it away now, there won't be an immediate effect. And not realizing that, sure, you won't be spending that money, but who is going to do the job that tool was now doing? How much does that person get paid? How many hours are they going to spend on it? So now how many person hours, man hours, whatever you wanted to call it, are now being spent to get that task done versus the tool? What can't they do? What do they have to stop doing in order to do this task now? It's about understanding not just the value that they get from having it, but what the consequences are if they don't. Whether it's a customer who might churn or whether it's the C-suite, you need to understand how to prove that value, especially the invisible consequences of not having it. What are the consequences of continuing to just assume that the CEO gets it? Look, I completely understand wanting to just be able to do your job and not have to justify why it's valuable every single day. We're just not there yet. And even just because they've given you that assurance that, yes, I believe in CS, that doesn't mean that their mind won't change. It's like a customer right before onboarding, when they've just signed on the dotted line, they're so excited about what this is going to do for them. And then they're in onboarding and it's, oh, this is so much work. It's not just a click of a button. It's not magically solved everything. And that's the case with customer success as well. And your CEO isn't necessarily going to tell you, probably not going to tell you, when they start thinking, I don't know that CS is worth it. I don't know that it's doing what I thought it would do. And, or maybe it's just going to take too long to get there. But more likely, when it doesn't happen right away, they're going to assume, oh, this wasn't what I thought it was. So that's why you have to be showing that value all the time. We're doing this project because we're building towards this result. One of the things I like to advise is if someone is like, well, we want you to be doing more upsells. Aha, yes. That's what we want too. You want growth, right? So here's how we get there, because CS absolutely can cause growth. Here's what we have to put in place. Here are the drivers. We need to understand the use cases. What are customers trying to achieve? How does that kind of customer get there using our product? We have to put in place a customer journey, and we have to find a way to systematize that, both with some automations, strategic advisement, what additional materials, trainings do they need? It's not just let them loosen the product and everything should be fine. People don't always tell you what they're thinking, especially if it isn't positive about you. The CEO is not going to be the one to tell you when they're considering not keeping CS around anymore. It's all down to math. Does the value I get from this amount to more than what I'm paying for it? And we're terrible at understanding that we won't always have more time. So I'll have to do it, but that's fine. It's free for me to do it. It's not free. How much do you make in an hour? This was one of the coolest things I learned as a CEO, and this is an exercise I do with a lot of the CSLA people early on, is understanding what the tasks are for your job, dividing things up that you spend your day on, and just always asking yourself, is this a $10 an hour task, a $100 an hour task, or a $500 an hour task? And we have certain checklists that help what something falls under in among three, like what kind of a task is it? But so many of us, in trying to save money by doing it ourselves, whether that's a company, whether it's a one-person company, whether it's the leader of a CS team, we're trying to save our CSM's time by doing this ourselves. I'm trying to save time by doing my accounting myself, or I want to save time by when I don't want to have to pay someone just to organize these emails or just to schedule my social media. But pretty sure those are $10 an hour tasks. Like, you could find someone on the internet who would do this for you on Fiverr, on Upwork, whatever. who could do this kind of thing for you, and it would be $10 an hour. And if you want, you have to think about the kind of money you want to make and the kind of impact you want to have. If they're paying you $150,000, $200,000 a year, and you're working on $10 an hour tasks, do you really think you're going to be able to deliver the value that they expect of you in that job? So that's how you need to look at what you're spending your time on. And showing that analogy of the $10 an hour, $100 an hour, $500 an hour tasks, when it gets to valuing CS, what's important is that you can show them that a lot of CS is $500 an hour tasks. They're things that can be used again. They're things that will cause more money in the future. You know, creating a marketing materials that will be used again and again are also $500 an hour tasks. We're not the only ones, but seeing the long-term value instead of what it looks like in the moment is really how you can get there with this. It's what kind of growth do you want to have? Do we want to follow that rule of 40? All right. Can we do that? And like, how much churn can we afford and still achieve those goals? Are sales achieving their goals to get us there so that we can afford this much churn? And understanding, like, have we done what we need to do for our customers to get their goals? Because their goal was not to buy a tool. Their goal was to achieve something with the tool, to get a result that saves them time. Saves them time, makes them money, saves them money, increases their security. Are they getting that? And that's when you can be a lot more secure in the fact that, yes, they're going to stay. Yes, they're going to buy more from us because they've seen that value. It's the driver for NRR, GRR. Those are, you know, the results that you're looking for. But if you want to understand what the leading indicators are and show them these are the leading indicators, this is how we get there. If you don't want to wait a year to see if something worked or not, oh, these people churned. I guess what we did a year ago was wrong. Or I guess what we did 9 months ago was wrong. Then that's what you have to really focus on. It's those drivers. It's those results. And then being able to show them, and there's another presentational link that does this, being able to show them how a customer achieving their goal ties financially to both retention and expansion, because it does. It increases the likelihood of both of those things many times over. I have a presentation that I got at last year's Gainsight. I really am platform agnostic. These two things just were some great thought leadership, but something on verified outcomes. Customers basically saying, yeah, I got what I came for. Mark the box, yes. And then they did some studies that showed when they achieved that, yes, they bought more. They kept coming back. Greg Danes has a lot of great stuff on this too. And that's what I think is really going to move us forward in CS and allow this to continue and make us not all go somewhere else being frustrated, is the fact that we're finding ways to show with data that achieved verified outcomes cause retention and expansion. So yes, that does make sense for us to work on. All right. I will attach those things so that you can take a look at them and have some hard proof, some lovely charts to bring back your C-suite to understand it better yourself. Okay, that's what I've got for you today. Thanks so much for joining me. And if you're looking to nail your role as a CS leader, make sure you're on the wait list for the next round of CS Leadership Academy so you can take charge of your leadership, CS strategy, and mindset. No BS and nothing left out. Come check out our website at Psychology of Customer Success, where you can send me a message or leave me a voicemail so you can get your questions answered on an upcoming episode of the podcast. So until next time, get some rest, take care of yourself, and make sure to share this with your CS bestie. Talk soon, and here's to your success.